This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. It is Monday, March 11th, and we are live in studio today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call. 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. Again, 508-673-1480. There's some talk of inflation in the air again. There'll be some reports coming out Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. We'll get that in a minute. But before we start, I felt like I found some interesting tidbits about February.
I love tidbits.
Yeah, it's always funny in my business. You can never really talk about what's going to happen, but you can talk about what did happen.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like being a reporter. You don't make the news. You report the news. So in February, the S&P 500 gained more than 4% in February, and that is just the 10th time since World War II that's happened, Dave. Pretty good amount of time in between those. In the 9 prior years that saw a 4% plus gain in February, the S&P 500 averaged a gain of 1.51% in March, with gains 7 out of 9 times. So what do you learn? Well, if February is good, March will be okay, positive more likely than not, but certainly we're not going to see 4% gains again in March. Based on statistics, of course, based on statistics. And if you've watched the stock market in March so far, it has been a little bit choppy is the word I like to use.
It's down today. I just saw the
down
today the Dow.
Down today because of inflation. So we're going to talk about
it. But it was lower
that.
Last Wednesday than it is today.
Yeah.
So who knows?
Well, who knows is right. That's why we invest, right? It's risky. I was meeting with a young new client today who's a good saver, had a bunch of money in the bank, and ultimately we talked about, you know, getting some of that money working for you. That's the goal. Unfortunately, when we take money out of the bank to invest, we increase our risk potential. Oftentimes, you know, 200-300% more risky than what you're doing at the bank. But you've got to remember, you know, the bank has going to have its pluses and minuses, access, ease of access, cash, weekends. I'm usually closed on the weekends, but ultimately the rate of return's just not there. Even in the CD world, we're seeing banks offering pretty competitive CD rates, but you're only seeing them in the 4s and 5s and generally only for 7 to 12 months. You're not seeing long-term rates that high from banks right now. And of course, that's because they don't want to be left holding the bag should rates start to drop. They don't want to have to be on the hook for 5% rates if they can only support a 2-2.5% rate. So you got to be aware of that. So more tidbits, four. So February was the S&P 500's fourth straight month of gains. So that includes November, December, January, and February. And if anybody looked at their year-end statements from 2023, you were pleasantly surprised. The end of year in 2023 finished out very strong. Following prior 4-month streaks, the index averaged a gain of 6.4% over the next 6 months and 12% over the next 12 months with positive returns 85% of the time over each span. So let me read that one again. February was the fourth straight month of gains. Following prior four-month streaks, the index averaged a gain of 6.4% over the next 6 months and a 12% rate of return over the next 12 months with positive returns 84% of the time. So again, what's it look like for 2024 going forward based on previous results? Obviously, we don't guarantee future results, but previous results looks like the market will continue to make gains over the next 12 months or so. So that's a good thing.
So it's up from last October.
It is. Yeah. The market's up since last October.
We had some glitches back then, didn't we?
We always have glitches. You know, one of the things I talk to my clients about, Dave, is I don't worry about inter-year lows or inter-year highs. And what I mean by that is, you know, in the middle of June, the stock market will go up, the stock market will go down. I don't really focus on June. I focus year over year. So I look at the beginning of the year, January. I look at the end of the year, December. And really, that's what I'm looking for. Did we do well or did we not? Because you'll drive yourself crazy, pull your hair out, whatever analogy you want to come up with. If you watch the market too regularly, my broker-dealer, Cetera Advisors, they offer monthly statements online, and I encourage my clients to take a glimpse, but don't study them per se every month. Really, you know, if you want to look quarterly, okay. If you want to look semi-annually, even better. Generally, with my own investments, I look about every 6 months because I want to get a gauge of where they're headed, but I'm certainly not going to overreact because most people who overreact when it comes to investments, they're the ones that end up being generally pretty disappointed with the results. And we've seen that before historically. We remember back in the 90s, the dot-com bubble was building, and everybody was chasing the next great dot-com stock. And ultimately, the 90s were what they call the lost decade. In other words, the S&P 500 started high and ended high, but really didn't break through any of those highs. And if you had just bought it and held it for that 10-year span, you really wouldn't have come out ahead. And that's oftentimes a result of over-management, zealous management, where you're saying, you know what, I can outsmart the market. And as I talked to that young gentleman today, it's really not outsmarting the market that's ever going to work for you long term. It's time in the market that matters. And there are statistics that go, hundreds and hundreds of pages deep. If you want to start Googling, you'll really end up down a pretty big rabbit hole where you'll find, you know, market timing doesn't really work. It's time in the market that matters. So I think that's important as we get through a year where we've got a presidential election in view. We've also got inflation still, not going away anytime soon, no matter what the Fed says or no matter what the consumer says. So we've got to learn to sort of deal with the new world order, if you will. And unfortunately, it looks like higher prices are here to stay for at least the foreseeable future.
What's the Fed saying about the interest rate right now? You haven't mentioned that yet today.
I'm saving it.
I'm saving it.
But yes, there is talk. Tomorrow there will be a report that comes out by the Fed, and that report is going to have a impact on how our stock market looks for the next couple days at least, because again, people are going to react negatively or positively to it. So this I found interesting, and with the political year in our focus with the election coming up, I found this fascinating. There are actually ETFs that track what Congress is buying. ETFs are exchange-traded funds, and they work similarly to mutual funds. They're pooled investments and the like. Some have active management. Some have passive management. But it was interesting, in the 12 months ending 2/29/2024, so the end of February, the exchange-traded fund that follows the Democrat members of Congress gained 39.4%. Now, that is if you were to compare it to something, kind of give it some kind of idea of how well of a return that is, 39%, first of all, that's a great number. And second of all, it outpaced the S&P 500 by 8 percentage points. So it did really, really well, really, really, really well. And there's also an ETF that tracks Republican members of Congress. That fund did 19.9%. So the Democrat fund did 39.4%. The Republican fund did 19.9%. And as I tell everybody, you know, this is not a political statement, but term limits, please, because, you know, ultimately the Democrats and the Republicans both are buying stocks in their own portfolios, their family's portfolios. And generally, I would go on a limb them to say that they're using insider information to do that. And that's why the returns are outpacing the stock market, the S&P 500 that you and I invest in. They're outpacing that by 8.4% over the same period of time on a total return basis. That's pretty amazing.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that there are applications on your phone that can follow certain governmental officials' investments. So yes, you can invest just like them.
Yes, these two funds will do exactly that. And Dave, thank you. They are absolutely true facts. And what's fascinating to me is that I've never really looked into it, but I did spend some time last week. And sure enough, you can see what the members of Congress are buying or selling. And it's quite fascinating to see that. Now, certainly it's not an investment recommendation, but I did find it fascinating to see how
just
well they're
bringing it to light. That's all.
That's all I'm suggesting is just bringing it to light. Exactly. So we'll take our first break and come back. I've got some more interesting tidbits, and then we'll talk a little bit about what's going on with inflation this week. And again, if you need help retiring successfully in an up or down market and not sure where your income's going to come from, you can give my office a call at 508-673-3300.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first five callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology custom-designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
Welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. You know, our young generation, my son, older 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, they really have a tough time right now in 2024, if you think about it. And I know it seems, you know, we all say, oh, everyone's had a tough time. But if you think about today, you know, starting out to buy a home, even buying a car, it's going to cost you more. Interest is higher. Prices are higher. And wages are really not increasing at the level to support those higher prices. I am so thankful to own a home, own a car, you know, be well established in an industry that I don't really, you know, I don't say don't worry about it, but I think we're a little bit insulated from it. So, you know, younger people out there today working really hard, the ones that are working really hard to try to get that lifestyle that we've shown them can exist in America. And of course, it's expensive. It's more expensive than it was when I was growing up. Everything's more expensive. You know, when I was a kid, if I wanted the best sneakers, they were $100. Today, those best sneakers are $500. And, you know, it's really tough. You know, I had a lot of conversations with my son over the weekend about, you know, what he needs versus what he wants. And what he needs is food, clothing, shelter.
Yeah.
What he wants is lobster, the best sneakers.
PlayStation.
And his own place. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's just crazy. It's crazy. So anyway, getting back to some more statistics I found interesting over the weekend. Rent is too high. Look at this number. An average of $4,200 per month to rent for a one-bedroom apartment in New York City. $4,200 per month for a one-bedroom apartment in New York City. And that's the average. That's 34% higher than the next closest metro region, which happens to be Jersey City, New Jersey. And over the last year, prices in New York City have increased by 18.3%, ranking it as the third highest of all the 100 metro regions. So you have prices that are not only going up inflation-wise, but they're going up way over that 18% increases. And you know, that's New York City, but just look in Fall River. I had a discussion with a client who owns some rental properties in Fall River last week, and we talked about increasing rents because, you know, he's still charging $700-$800 a month for rent, and, you know, his tenants love him, of course, for it. But I reminded him that when I rented an apartment all the way out in the sticks in Uxbridge, this was going back 16 or 17 years ago, I was paying $700 then, and I never forgot. You know, my wife and I, we have a good eye for decoration, keep the place pretty neat. And when we were moving out of that apartment after 4 or 5 years to buy our home, the landlord said to us in no uncertain terms, "Oh, I'll be raising the rent for the next person because this place looks great."
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing. You know, we talked about it last week on the show, this new sort of mantra for young people, forever renters, they're calling themselves, and they're saying that they're going to rent forever, and that way they won't have the headaches of property ownership. And that's true. You may not have to mow the lawn or worry about fixing the roof, but you also not build equity for yourself. You'll be building equity for someone else. And just keep in mind, equity means ownership. So we talk about equities, stocks. That really means ownership. You own your home versus letting someone else own it and you pay them rent for it. Now, obviously, there's a time when renting makes sense. When you're young, you're building up your down payment, your war chest for that first-time home purchase, for sure. And maybe even at the end of your life, when you've decided you have enough disposable income, you'd rather rent than own. That makes sense. But I can tell you statistically that most wealthy Americans got there, and at least in part, by building up equity in property. And I think that's a very important thing. And it's very, I think, dangerous that we take a trend that's been 4 or 5 years, you know, since COVID, higher interest rates, higher prices, and we sort of now tell everybody that's the new norm. It reminds me back in 2008, the financial crisis, when the real estate market fell apart, and that same kind of feeling came out where people said, "Oh, you know what? I think I'm better off renting." Well, ask those people today who rented back in 2008 and continue to rent all the way up until today if they feel better off because their rents have gotten higher and their equity position is the same. It's zero. You have no equity in a rental property unless you own it. So just be careful.
But when you sell your property and you downsize to something less expensive, mm-hmm. you can take all the equity and put it in your pocket and use it for your cost of living or investments or what
exactly.
have you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if you continue to rent, you're never going to have that equity.
No, you won't. And, you know, this is, I think my son is a good, you know, microcosm of the world. He's 15 and he's every bit of 15. And you know, what I say with him is like, he thinks, you know, today is everything. He thinks 15 years of experience is all you need. He knows everything there is to know. And the reality is he's got a lot more to go, and you've got to stay focused on the big picture. Don't let the little bumps along the road discourage you from staying on that road, because, you know, we've all done it and it does work. It does work over time. So talking about food prices, and this is something we see at the grocery store almost every time I go. I'm shocked by it, quite frankly. Food prices are still rising. Food prices in the U.S. are expected to increase by 2.4% in 2024, which is higher than the previous USDA forecast for an increase of 1.3%. So they're almost double what they thought the government thought it would grow by. It's going to, well, up significantly. 2024's growth rate would still be less than half of 2023's increase of 5.8% and less than a third of the 9.9% increase in 2022. What I'm most fascinated as a math guy is you've got 10% in 2022, 6% in 2023, that's 16%, plus 2.4 in 2024. That puts you at 18.5%. Food prices have gone up since the end of 2021. And if you wonder why you don't feel like you get farther with your dollar, this is why. This is why. And you're seeing, you know, our food system sort of come under attack from higher prices and also some things that are out of our control. I just read before I came over that there's been some massive wildfires in Texas, and that is causing issues to the beef supply. And again, issues to the beef supply means the price of meat will go up. That's how it works. And unfortunately, I was having a discussion over the weekend with some friends. You know, remember, stockholders control these companies, not the customers, not you who goes to the grocery store and buys those steaks. It's the stockholders of those companies that ultimately control what's happening, because the stockholders are the ones that own the company. And Why do they own the company, Dave? Why do they expose themselves to risk to you know, to own that company?
To make money?
To make money.
Yeah.
Right. So they don't really care if inflation comes or COVID comes or, you know, the dollar doesn't go as far as it used to. They want to make profit. And the way they do that is by changing the system. We've all heard of shrinkflation. I think I've talked about that on the show.
Shrink or size?
Shrinkflation.
Or both. Because there's sizeflation too.
Well, shrinkflation really is sizeflation, Dave. And what shrinkflation is if you look at a box of, you know, our friends at Kleenex, for an example, you look at the bottom of the box and it tells you it's 95 tissues per box. Well, if you look at an old box, if you happen to have one, it probably tells you it's 100 or 105 Kleenex per box. And that's not just Kleenex. That's everywhere. You're seeing it with toilet paper and your cereals and chips and sodas and the like. And it's really changing dramatically. And so you're paying more and actually getting less.
But you were talking about food, and I know a store that was selling eggs, medium-sized eggs, for a dollar for a dozen.
Wow.
And now they sell six for $1.25.
Yeah, that's a deal.
Holy cats.
Yeah.
That's huge inflation.
It is. And if, you know, imagine if you have a family of five or six. I dated a girl in college. God bless her family. They were really nice people. And she had five brothers and sisters plus her parents. So there was eight people in that household. It was like the Brady Bunch.
Wow.
And you think about, you know, the cost of eggs doubling or the cost of milk going up. That is sometimes, it's the difference between making it and breaking it, realistically. So, you know, it was funny. I did some traveling a few weeks ago for February school vacation. And, of course, you know, people introduce yourself. Oh, is this your kid? I'm like, yeah, my only kid, one kid. And they say, why only one kid? I'm like, financially more feasible, financially more feasible. It's really hard and expensive to raise a family in today's day and age. Now, again, the pendulum swings. So hopefully the Fed continues to work on bringing down inflation. But I always, and this is the pessimist in me, wonder, will these companies ever go back? You know, if I know I can make a dollar and a half per box of product that I'm selling, why would I ever change that? In fact, I'd like to increase that profit, so I'll keep trying to find creative ways to do that. And unfortunately, oftentimes what that means is us as the consumers end up paying the price. And there's a breaking point somewhere. I just don't know where it is, quite frankly. So with that, we'll take our next break. And when we come back, I want to talk about, again, what's going to happen this week with inflation reports coming out and what we can expect from the stock market ahead. If you have questions regarding your retirement, you're not sure how to actually retire, you've saved money in a 401k, but now what is the question? You can give my office a call, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky, high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today, 855-406-6218, or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we are live in studio. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. So I've teased it a couple times, Dave, unbeknownst to you.
Uh-oh.
And the February Consumer Price Index comes out tomorrow. So you are going to see real inflation numbers reported tomorrow afternoon.
So where can we find that?
Tomorrow afternoon, it'll be all over the news. If you look at Market Watch or, you know, any of the news stations, I imagine they'll be reporting it because it's going to be a news story.
Consumer Price Index.
Consumer Price Index, basically what we're paying for goods, including fuel, housing, etc. And right now, The projections, not official till tomorrow, Dave.
Right, right.
The projections are that it's going to tick up a bit to 0.4% gain from a 0.3% gain in January, and that would be the biggest gain since September of last year. The reason that I think it's worth mentioning on my limited amount of radio time is simple. It is going to have an effect on the stock market, not long term, but in the short term for sure. We remember our stock market performance last year, sort of choppy at best, and then all of a sudden the end of the year really, really performed well. And let's study that for a minute. And what do you remember? You remember that the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, came out and said they don't envision they're going to raise rates again in the near future. And that's why October, November, and December of last year, the market did really, really well. And as I reported earlier today, the market had a four-month, the S&P had a four-month run-up from October all the way through February. So, you know, that matters. So inflation numbers matter. It spooks the stock market. The reason it spooks the stock market is because the stock market wants inflation to be lower, because the lower inflation is, they believe, the quicker the Fed will drop these rates down, which are affecting housing, you know, commercial lending, things like that. And unfortunately, it looks like that's not going to be the case come tomorrow. Rates have the consumer price index has gone up, and as a result, inflation is up slightly, although up, and they think that gives the Fed more time to keep rates higher or where they are currently. So we'll see tomorrow, but, you know, if I was a betting man, I'm not, but dollars to donuts, I bet you the stock market probably sees a little bit of red tomorrow, and that's why you're seeing it today. All three major indexes, when I started the show, the Dow, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ were all in the red, you know, barely, but they were. And in fact, as I look now, the Dow Jones has turned around, but the positive rate of return right now is 0.01%. So barely positive. So just about even. And that's normal. You'll see that happen when the Fed's got news coming. So no one's going to make much move today, I imagine.
But they will tomorrow.
They will. And, you know, the question again is long term. I think it matters more than anything else. And long term investors should never be spooked by what the Fed's doing. Remember, as I said earlier in the show, it's not timing the market that matters. It's time in the market that matters. And you're seeing that play out really over time. And I can show you, the longer you invest, statistically, the more likely you are to have positive results almost every time. And the longer that period goes out, the more likely you are to have those positive results. So, you know, it's hard to ignore the noise, but ultimately that's really what we have to do when it comes to the stock market, is, you know, have a plan. So what I try to teach my clients is different money requires different risk tolerances put on that money. So if you're someone who wants to have 6 to 12 months of savings in a bank or credit union, I think that's a great idea. Emergency accounts, it's a great idea. That's going to be low-risk money. You're not going to take a lot of risk with that. Maybe you have it in a money market. Maybe you have it in a CD. But ultimately, they're going to be low-risk investments that are available when you need them. Conversely, when we're talking about your retirement money, you want to be aggressive to start out in your 20s and 30s, because retirement, let's face it, it's a million years away when you're in your 20s and 30s. The earliest you can retire with Social Security, full Social Security, is 67. If you retire early from Social Security, it's 62. So, you know, if you're starting out investing at 32 years old, you still have 30 years to go before that date. Why would you not be aggressive? I don't know that answer, but I spend a lot of time asking clients that answer. So you've got to, you know, you've got to take the risk when you can, stomach it.
When you have time to fix any mistakes or losses.
And, right, because the market is going to go up and down inevitably. Any good financial advisor should tell you that, and they should tell you that, you know, the ups far outweigh the downs, but the downs hurt. You know, there's a saying, I think we talked about it last week, Dave, you know, the losses hurt more than the gains feel good. And that's why people make sometimes drastic and rash decisions with their money. And sometimes those decisions can affect you not just today or tomorrow, but literally your entire life. And that's something that most people don't think about, because, you know, it's not the gains or the losses you experience now. It's what they would have compounded in 10 or 20 or 30 years going forward. I'm reminded of a client of mine when she first came in with her dad, really smart financial family. She was 16 years old and she had two different jobs. She was working as a waitress and working as a sandwich maker, working her butt off. And, you know, when she came in, she said, "I want to open a Roth IRA." And I never forgot this conversation. I asked her why. And she said, "Well, because I live at home and my parents pay a lot of my expenses right now. And I know that won't always be the case. So I have more disposable income than normally I would. Now's the time to start investing." I said, "Wow, that is really, really intelligent from a 16-year-old. And I thought about my own son. What am I doing wrong? Because he doesn't think that clearly, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it. So, you know, when we started talking further, she said, "I want to invest $200. And I said, "Oh, a month?" And she goes, "No, every 2 weeks when I get paid." I said, "You're going to invest $400 a month in an investment for your retirement future, and you're going to start doing this at 16. And she said, "Yeah." And I was flabbergasted, floored, whatever adjective you want to use. And literally I showed her that, you know, using compound interest calculators are quickly available online for free, that if she did that, continued to do that, made a decent rate of return of 8% a year, she would be a multimillionaire by the time she reached 50 years old. And you should have seen her dad. Her dad was just beaming, because, you know, here's his daughter showing really advanced thinking, planning, and also, you know, taking the time to plan her financial future. And I remember one of the last things she said to me is, you know, "I may not be able to afford this now, but I certainly can in the future, rather, but I can certainly afford it now, and I'm going to take advantage of it while I still can." And, you know, God bless her and her family for having that knowledge, that understanding that, you know, we need to pass that down. It's something I say in Fall River all the time. We need to have more financial education for our young folks so that they don't get caught up in, you know, the wants and desires that really can affect them. I remember trying to buy a car for my wife a couple of years ago, and I was waiting for the paperwork to be completed, which seems like a forever process when you're buying a car. But anyway, the particular dealership I was at had a Chevy Camaro convertible. It was sweet.
Ooh.
This thing was sweet. It had all the bells and whistles, biggest engine, beautiful paint job, convertible, everything. And on the sticker, they didn't have a sale price. They just had a lease price. It was $1,000 per month for a lease. And there were two guys looking at it as I was standing, kind of watching them, giggling a little bit. And one of them said, the other, he goes, "Yeah, this is a beautiful car. The only problem with it is it's convertible." And I walked up to him and I said, "Listen, for that price, you want it to be convertible so everybody can see you driving it."
Yeah.
But, you know, the reality is if these people had gotten some financial education along the lines, they would have said to themselves, "Wait a second, I'm going to lease a car for $1,000 a month. I don't get paid tax-free, so I got to earn my money taxable. So I'm going to make $1,300 or $1,400 a month, pay $400 in federal and state taxes to get the $1,000 to give to the Chevy dealership. And at the end of 3 years, I still don't own the car." Does that seem wise?
No.
Not unless you're independently wealthy and you can afford that, but I don't think in this case these folks could. You've got to be intelligent enough, because ultimately, you know, salespeople are generally designed to part fools of their money, and some of them are really, really good at it. And we all want the best car and the best, you know, vacation and the best house and the best, you know, dress clothes and the like and the best dinners out. But the reality, as I've said before, is the best of everything is really expensive. Really, really expensive. And you've got to determine what you really want. You know, what's going to make you happy? And it doesn't have to be what makes your neighbor happy. It can just be what makes you happy. You know, my wife and I and our son, we live in a modest 2-bedroom house. We love it. It's affordable. It allows us to go places on the weekends and do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, my good friend, has a big, big house. And he tells me, well, that's because he preferred to entertain at home than entertain out. And I tell him that's okay.
That makes sense. Yeah,
yeah, it does. But in my mind, when I leave, I say, you know, it's because you can't afford to entertain out because you bought such a big home. So, you know, we all have our own way of looking at things. And, you know, ultimately, retirement is going to be one of the best things we ever take on. But ultimately, it's going to be a costly endeavor, and you've got to be prepared for that. You know, one of my favorite issues that comes up, because people come to see me sometimes, I think, too late because they're afraid that they don't have enough money to invest. And again, we at J. Marshall Associates do not impose account minimum. Sometimes I feel like I should, but I don't, because I remember growing up.
You mean a minimum account to invest?
Mm-hmm. Amount? Yeah, a lot of people do that. You know, some people who advertise on the radio, they tell you it's $500,000. Other people in the city put out advertisements. They'll invite you to a free steak dinner, and they'll tell you right on it, it's $250,000 minimum to attend. And we've never done that in our office, and we've been around for about 40 years. So certainly I think we could afford to do it, but I would hate to turn my services or close my door to someone like my 16-year-old friend there who was starting out and was really excited and really, really is going to be a great client someday. I just have to help grow her into that role. And certainly she's doing the heavy lifting. She's the one making the money. I'm just giving the advice. So it's easy. But, you know, one of the things I've started to say, Dave, it comes up a lot with people who come to see me, I think, later than maybe they should, is I want to retire early. You know, you hear this FIRE, they call it, financial independence, retire early. I was reading an article about it last week, and this is a big movement now, and it's also kind of the van lifers, if you will, you know, hashtag van life.
Van life?
Yeah, these are the people that are influencers, you know, they live in a Mercedes Sprinter van, they drive from place to place, take some nice pictures with some products, and they get paid to do so.
Huh.
And a lot of these people are also the ones promoting FIRE, this FIRE movement, which again, financial independence, retire early. But if you get into reading some of these people's blogs, articles, etc., they're not quite as glamorous as they make it out to be. I was reading one last week where they talked about, well, you know, we came to the realization pretty quickly that we're going to have to work at least part-time gigs forever. Consulting work and the like, sure, working from home or in the van, sure. But the reality is retiring early in your 30s, 40s, or even your 50s is really, really, really expensive. And, you know, let's just take one aspect of it, health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know how many clients I meet a year? Probably, I'd say 30 people a year I meet who saved money, ready to retire early, first time meeting with a financial advisor, and I have to ask him one very poignant question. I'll say, well, what about your health insurance? And just silence.
Crickets.
Nothing. Literally. And I'm like, what are you going to do? They're like, well, I'm going to retire at 62. And I'm like, okay. Does your employer allow you to continue the health insurance coverage even if you're no longer working there? No. I'm like, okay, so what's your plan? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, right. So Medicare kicks in at 65. So quick math tells me you have a 3-year gap of health insurance coverage where you have no options other than going through the Mass Health Connector, which is an option if you're a Mass resident. Rhode Island has their own Rhode Island Health Connector. But again, those are based on incomes. So you may be able to get health insurance from those types of outlets, but ultimately you are going to pay for that. You're going to pay for that. So you have to keep that in mind, that retiring early is not just something you say. It's something you live, you breathe, you plan, you replan, and then you plan again. So We'll take our last break, come right back. Again, if you have questions regarding retirement, you're not sure how you're going to retire successfully, you can give my office a call and we can help. 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back to the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. For the before the break, I mentioned retiring early, and I think that's something we all dream of, but I think only some of us are really disciplined enough to pull it off. Health insurance, as I mentioned before the break, is a huge factor when it comes to retiring early. Most of us, matter-of-factly, when we leave our jobs, we will not have health insurance coverage much longer than we're employed. So we have to really think about that before we decide to retire early. You've got to have a plan. One serious medical issue, heart attack, God forbid cancer, you could financially find yourself broke. And now what do you do? Because you've lost that time it took to build up your wealth with one or two careless mistakes, not covering your health insurance costs. You could be bankrupt, and quite frankly, you're back to work for the rest of your life at that point. So, you know, retiring early is much more of a lifestyle than it is a thing that you say at dinner at night because it makes you sound intelligent. You know, retiring early takes a lot of effort. So I wanted to mention a couple things regarding Social Security taxes and reductions. If you retire early, so that's 62 through your full retirement age. So for me, my full retirement age is 67. So if I retire between the ages of 62 and before 67, that is considered early retirement. And if I make income, which I hope to, earned income now, if I make more than $22,320 a year, that's $1,860 a month, certainly not that much, I will lose $1 in Social Security benefits for every $2 earned above that limit. So there's a penalty because I retired early. And by taking Social Security early, the government penalizes you. So, you know, I tell my clients, people who take Social Security earlier generally or should be people who are financially needy. They need the money. They cannot wait for it, no matter how much we talk about it. Or they're not very well off health-wise. They don't think they're going to live a long time. And that those are two reasons that I've recommended that in the past. The year you attain your full retirement age, the number goes up, but there's still a limit. So my birthday happens to be in October. So the year in which I make my full retirement age of 67, I can make a total of $59,520 a year or $4,960 a month. And if I go over that $59,000 threshold, I will lose $1 in Social Security benefits for every $3 earned above the limit. So again, there is a penalty. So, you know, my clients who are working beyond Social Security ages generally will wait to their full retirement age, 66 or some combination therein up to 67. And then after that, they can earn as much as they want. So you have to be aware of that. And again, these are discussions you should have well ahead of time of retiring early or retiring on time. Just the more knowledge you have, the better off you'll be. An educated consumer, an educated customer is certainly going to do better than one who is not. And then, you know, Social Security, what's funny about Social Security is when it was started back in the 1930s, Franklin Delano Roosevelt told people that Social Security would not be taxed, but of course, he passed away. So all bets are off now. So right now, if you're married filing jointly, if you make between $32,000 and $44,000 a year, combined, up to 50% of your Social Security benefits are taxed. And if you make over $44,000 a year, 85% of your Social Security is taxed. So your Social Security still is taxed. And again, the more taxable income you have nowadays, it could trickle down to a Medicare penalty as well, where you're going to pay more for Medicare than your neighbor because you have more income than your neighbor. So before we run out of time, just something I mentioned, retirement is a dream of all of ours, but only some of us are going to reach it. My mother never did. My dad did because of old age, but you have to plan on it. And the more you plan, the better off you'll be. So I know a nice financial planner who's on the line right now, and his name is Richard Bassett. He has been in business with J. Marshall Associates for over 20 years. The firm J. Marshall Associates has been in business for over 40 years. We are local, we are kind, and we are knowledgeable. And again, we can help. Our phone number in the office, 508-673-3300. Our website is jmarshallfinancial.com, and you're always welcome to find us on Facebook two. In the end, what I hear from most clients who come in for a first meeting, most of our business now, Dave, is referral business. And what I hear most often is, I should have come in sooner. I should have come in sooner. There's no reason not to. We're always here. I feel like I live in Fall River more than I live in my house. So, you know, give us a call again, 508-673-3300, and we will help. With that going on, and with that being said, Dave, what's new in the real estate world?
All kinds of new stuff in the real estate world. I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. Phone number 508-277-3297. Everybody's talking about it, so I'm going to talk about it too. It's artificial intelligence. It's not as scary as it seems, man. It's not the Terminator. It's just all artificial intelligence does, really. It mimics the human practice of problem solving and decision making. That's all there really is to it. But the thing about artificial intelligence, a human will learn something, but the artificial intelligence never unlearns it. It never forgets it. So it always has that information in the back of its mind to make decisions properly and effectively. And it's affecting the whole world. And let's see, it's affecting the real estate market, like with property operations, tenant retention, decision making. And I'm going to talk about fraud detection. And all you landlords out there, property managers out there, you're gonna want to know about an outfit called Snapt. And they use artificial intelligence to check on submitted documents from renters or buyers, and you know, all sorts of, you know, references. Are they real? Are they false? Because the bottom line is, back in the day, it used to be tough to make a real looking document for the average Joe. But now anybody can download any number of different software programs and make a fake-looking document that looks completely real. And the people reviewing these documents, they have to rely on the human eye to do it. And you can't, because it's just too accurate these days. And the two biggest ways that people submit fake data, they can use a PDF editor and download it, or they can use a pixel-generated template made or downloaded offline. And you can even hire companies to make fake documents for you. And if you want to know more about it, I've got more about it. Give me a call, David Brown, Realtor, High Point Properties, 508-277-3297. Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.